Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank God for His mighty works through those who love Him. Years ago, He told me that He would raise people up, people that will obey Him. If the establishment wouldn't do it, He would raise people up to do His work. I'm reminded of a dream I had years ago, I guess around 2007 or 8 maybe. The Lord had I dreamt that I was working. I used to have a mobile auto service years ago in the 80s and 90s. And I would work on cars wherever the car was at people's houses. It was a mobile auto service. And in this dream, there was some guys had just got off work. In the dream, they were county workers. They had gotten off in the middle of the day like they do. And I was trying to finish a car for one of my customers. And one of them said, he's going to run out of time. It's about to get dark. And those three guys, they became mechanics. They were not mechanics, but they became mechanics. And they helped me finish before it got dark because the neighborhood was bad. You know, the neighborhood happened to be one of those neighborhoods that had a bad reputation. And they felt like, we better help this guy because he needs to be done before it gets dark. And they became mechanics, and we did some, they worked like professional mechanics. They didn't get in each other's way. They knew just what to do, and we finished in moments what would have taken hours. And one man by himself would have took a while, took a couple of hours, but we did it in a few minutes because they all three became professional mechanics. And when I woke up, I said, Lord, what in the world was that about? He said, many people are going to become preachers. Now, I saw something. When the anointing of God is on you, you can do something that you normally couldn't do. We explain these things in other broadcasts. And if God anointed you to do anything, I encourage you to read what He gave me about the anointing. He had given me he gave me some definitions about words that we normally use. Now, in religious circles, in Christian circles, people always talk about the anointing. David was anointed with oil. Saul was anointed with oil. Jehu was anointed with oil. Different people were anointed by prophets to be kings, priests, whatever that God wanted them to be. And I never thought about the definition of it. I thought I knew what it was. But when I saw how He gave me other definitions, such as faith, trust, even fear, unbelief, things like that, when He gave me His definition, the meaning of the word meant a lot more to me. Then I got curious and asked Him what's His definition of the anointing. And you know, you've heard me say on other broadcasts that it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Now, we all know that if God does something, He can do it well, and it's unstoppable, it's perfect, it's well thought out. Well, under the anointing, you can too. And whatever you need for the purpose of that anointing, it will be supplied as you obey God and use that anointing. Different anointings for different things people can do things they normally couldn't do. And that's what I saw. These guys were not trained mechanics. But to help me do what God wanted me to do, you know, fix that car, they became mechanics. And now there's a great need. See, the Lord has a lot of people out there that can be saved. And He wants to save them. And He has a short time to do it. And established churches have not done, they didn't reach them. Now, some people are not going to be reached unless God's people follow Him. So now, right now, God is raising up people that will obey Him. You don't have to know everything. If you can obey God and He anoints you to do something, you can do a mighty work. Remember, Jesus, in the parable Jesus had said, He taught the parable of the laborers in the field. They were working all day, And then the master of the field went out and found people just standing around and said, why are you just standing around? And they went and helped reap his field. And they only worked 1 hour. And then he paid everybody the same. Now, those who operate under the anointing, it may not look like it, but they can do a great and mighty work that cannot be reversed. They can put things in motion so God can reap the harvest of the field. And what he called you to do, and, you know, that will be revealed to you, just like we talked about in other broadcasts. Sometimes the reason the established churches have failed when they could have wrought a great victory, it's because they traditionalized their ministry and they limited God in their life. And they tried to do it in their might. And sometimes they went out to money and fame. All these things cause people to fail. And the Lord plainly said it's not by might nor power, but by his spirit. The oil flowed from the two olive trees to the bowls. And it was useful. The two candlesticks had 7 lampstands. I mean, the lampstand had 7 bowls on it. So the oil, you know, and there are 7 spirits of the Lord, you know. In Isaiah chapter 11, it talks about this plainly. See, the Lord does things according to order. And whenever you obey him, you do things according to his order. And that's where you're going to be mighty. You're operating in the power of his might, not yours. He doesn't require you to know everything. He requires you to obey him. And listen to chapter 11 in Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's one, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Let's number them. The Spirit of the Lord, 1. The Spirit of wisdom, 2. And understanding, 3. The Spirit of counsel and might. Counsel is 4, might is 5, and the spirit of knowledge, that's 6, and of the fear of the Lord. Now, this is 7 manifestations of how the Holy Spirit will guide his people. He will train you. You will fear the Lord. You will know that when God speaks, it's important. You will have a reverence for God, and you will fear him. That's where the beginning of wisdom is. He will give you wisdom for the future. He will give you understanding of things. That's how the Lord trained me. He always helped. When I finished, as I obeyed him, I didn't fully understand everything. I just obeyed him. But the end result, I started to understand. You know, the Lord give you understanding. And understanding comes last. Faith comes first. You obey him, and you will understand. He will train you. You will begin. You'll begin learning process. You will have knowledge. But as you act on it, an understanding will form as you obey God, and you will have new vision. You'll start understanding. See, the 7 candlesticks and the 7 spirits of the Lord is the same thing. It all flows from the heart of God, from the Spirit of God. 7 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, who came to guide you in all truth, will equip you so you won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of foolish, satanic, and doctrines of men that always get people, make them sterile. You know, when you get off course, you become sterile, you can't produce. And the people that follow your guidance, they'll be just as sterile and worse unless they start looking to the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we look to him, we won't have these unnecessary problems. And it doesn't take long for God to do something. Now, the main thing, when God, under the anointing, you can do what God can do. And the Holy Spirit has to work with you and train you so that you don't get in pride. God is going to do a work in you, and it's going to be mighty. But if you get in pride, pride is opposition. You will operate in opposition to the Lord. If you operate in opposition to the Lord, you're short-circuiting what God has done in you, and the anointing won't work in your life. Things won't work right if you stop. You have to do everything by the motivation of love. And if you operate according to the motivation of love, everything works. If you get off track somewhere, think about it this way. If you're a parent and you live off track, do things other than what God will have you do, you're training your child to do the same thing. Even if you do secret sin, they'll do secret sin. The only way you can help your children is to have a single eye toward the Lord. If your eye is steadily on Him, you reject the other things, you reject the evil things, and then you can, they'll do the same thing. And you'll have structure in your house. And you'll find your children structuring their children. Now, when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, gave him advice, because people were coming to Moses all day long. And Jethro said, you're going to wear away and the people with you. He said, select 10 men full of wisdom that hate covetousness. Now, I heard that. I was listening to it this morning in Exodus. He said, and then let 100 men, let them counsel 100, and 100 counsel 1,000, and 1,000 counsel the people. Because so many people were coming for counsel. But he had them to set up a structured network. Get the wisest men, the 10 best men you got, that's full of wisdom and the love of the Lord. And he also said, and hate covetousness. Now, the concept of hating particular sins, I didn't learn that from men. They just say don't do it. You go to church, they say don't sin. They preach against it. They try to discourage people from it. But they never portray you hating sin and it working. That concept was foreign in the churches that I went to. And so, as I drew near to the Lord, I wanted to love God, I didn't want to be like Satan. Satan made me so mad that I didn't want nothing to do with it. And if he tempted me, if I felt tempted, I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to be tempted. I don't want to do anything that your enemy would have me do. I said, I don't want this, but I don't know how to deal with it yet. And I got mad. Sometimes you just got to get mad. And I used to listen to Charles Capps, which I highly recommend. You can still go to his website, even though he went on to be with the Lord. Just Google Charles Capps, and you can listen to the same blessing ministry, the same blessed ministry tapes that I listen to. And he taught people how to confess the Word of God. Now, I started saying with my mouth, I hate that whatever sin it was. I never had a problem with covetousness and pride. Whatever it was, I would curse it. I would say I hate it. If it was lust, I would say I hate it. If it was pride, I say I hate it. And the reason I would do those things, because I knew God hated it. So I just say I hate that sin. Even if I didn't feel tempted at the time, I would say I hate it. And it became real. So he asked him, he said, get men that are full of wisdom and that hate covetousness. Because if you got a leader that's covetous, they're going to eventually take bribes. Somebody's going to tempt them. And they're going to take a bribe. And it's going to ruin everything. There are many people who start out in politics with a good, they really want to do a good job. But they feel like they can't get anywhere because, when you got a room full of people, with different opinions, getting them to agree on one thing is almost impossible unless they have a defining love of God and they really want what's best for the people and wise enough to understand what's best and what's not. And then the people want something and they have to come, they have to figure out a way to get something done. That's progress. And people coined the phrase an act of Congress. It's almost not going to happen. And when they finish with something, it's almost going to be all so messed up as you probably wouldn't want it anyway. That's why people say an act of Congress, because you can get Congress to do something right. You did something, and it can happen in the Lord. But when people are taking bribes, when they're covetous, and they're being paid by lobbyists, or they're paying lobbyists to hold, you know, it's going to be ruined. And as wise as we are in this country, we can't get things that we need done sometimes. And but when there's no covetousness and everybody's on one accord for the right thing, for the right reason, then Satan is outclassed. But people who take bribes will undermine everybody. And the Lord knows. So when Moses structured Israel, he got 10 of the best men that he could find, and then 100 men, they were over 100. And then 100 were over 1,000. And when people had concerns about the law, they would go to one of the 1,000. And then the 1,000 would get counsel from the 100, and the 100 would get counsel from the 10, and the 10 would report to Moses, and then they would go back and meet everybody's need. So I say it all that to say, you can hate sin that will undermine everybody. And the Lord is raising up preachers, people that love Him, that love His people, that will not take bribes, that cannot be bought. They hate the ways of the world. They hate the ways of Satan. They hate the weakness of mankind. And they set out to be a blessing to people that want to know God. And I decided a long time ago, I said, you know, I'm going to put forth my best effort, especially for those that have ears to hear. See, the people who have ears to hear, they are in every country, they are in every race, they come from every class that there is. Every class of men, financially, ethnically, you know. Now, God made everybody equal. He loved everybody the same. In God's house, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you're in His kingdom. He loves you just like He loved Jesus. Even if you come from a poor house, or a wealthy house, that doesn't matter with God. Your money has nothing to do with it. Jesus said your life is worth more than what you own. Now, but in the world, people are not that way. They look at status. They look at what you got, what kind of family you came from, what kind of morals you have. If you can believe on Jesus, you already overcome the world. Now you got to learn His ways and understand and come to understand. But if you don't, then you can't. Now, but He give you power over Satan. You can tell Satan to stop at your will in Jesus' name. If demons aggravate your life, just stop them in Jesus' name. You have full authority over them. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you allow on earth, it's allowed in heaven too. So don't allow Satan to aggravate your life and loose the good works of God in your life. Pray for the good of your people, of your family, of your friends. Be a priest. If you see Satan aggravating somebody else and they're about to die, you can tell Satan he can't kill them. And then the people that started the gunfight, they'll shoot for no reason. It won't work. You can turn off the spirit of death at your will. I've done it. I wouldn't be saying these things if the Word didn't say we could do these things. And I learned that we had authority over Satan. I learned it through Charles Capps, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, other ministers. especially Kenneth Hagin. I listen to his tapes on authority, which you can listen to the same tapes. Go to rhema.org and go to the library and listen to them. And you can listen to it now on your smartphone. But when I listened to these things, there were gunfights in the neighborhood I lived in. And I just told Satan, you can't kill nobody, you can't hurt nobody. And nobody ever died. And there were many gunfights, over 30 that I remember. Now, the work that the Lord give you to do and perform, the training of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations, the seven ways He manifests Himself to you, to guide you. If you receive those things and do what He say do, you're gonna come to a great understanding. You're gonna love it, folks. And the Lord can do a mighty work in you. Just do exactly what He say. Exactly what He say. Whatever He put on your heart, whether it's to study a specific part of His word, a specific chapter, scripture, book, do it. When He give you something to say, say it. And do it on time. Don't delay. If you fear to do it, go to the Lord and talk about it. Get it right. Fix it. Fix all your problems. Live according to the word. And curse the works of darkness. And remember, this work is short. So, the Lord is wise in how He does things. He has to manage. He has to give you instructions and use you according to the training time that you have and how faithful you are to that training time. And the more faithful you are in training, the more He's going to use you. So, I encourage you to learn all you can as fast as you can. And then whatever He gives you to do, you'll have the anointing to do it, and it will work, and it will. You will reap more that some churches did in a decade. How? I don't know. Because I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I know what He can do. Just like those three guys became mechanics, and we did in moments what would have taken hours. That represented a lot of people are going to become preachers, and they're going to do a work. And I know what it's like for the Lord to speak through you. A lot of things that He calls me to speak, I didn't know it was going to happen. I just heard myself saying the mighty things of God, and it works. Now, when this happens, every time it happens, I learn from it. I go back and I learn. And then as I learn, I do better, and I come to a greater understanding. Now, when you do what you're supposed to do, and you obey the Holy Spirit, you're giving Him a chance. Jesus gets a chance to build on His own foundation through you. Basically, that's what's happening. Now, when that happens, just enjoy it. And there are different types of ministries. There are different types of works. And it doesn't have to be traditional. It doesn't have to be in a church setting. The Lord may have you in the right audience at the right time. It may be 5 people, it may be 100 people. He may use you to say the right thing. He can work through the way you draw pictures. Now, whatever the Lord put on your heart, do it. It may be through music, through song, just do it. Because God is wise. If you don't limit Him, then He'll have free course in your life. And whatever you do, don't go and ask people, should you do what God plainly told you to do? You better do it. Don't regard what people, because think about it this way. If the Lord gives you revelation to do something, you have that revelation. With that, you know how important it is. And nobody else has that revelation. Because when everything the Lord gave me, He gave me. And when I tried to get other people on board, they didn't have that revelation. They didn't know the importance like I did. To them, it was crazy. But I obeyed the Lord for such a time as this. See, everything that happened since 1990 to now, my training time, the Lord did things in order. It took years for me to get to the point that I can do what I'm doing now. And the work of God is good. And if you waste your training time, you won't be ready to do what you got to do. And the time is short. Understand it this way too. The Lord give you instructions and you obey Him. You're obeying. And there's a risk of you getting in pride. He can do a mighty work in you that you really can't see. You may not see the end result. And the Lord knows how to do it in a way where you won't get in pride and become lost. He may have you to say the right thing to the right person or people at the right time, and you leave their presence, you don't see anything. You just obey God. But what you've done in the kingdom, you did the same thing that little boy did that had the fish and the two loaves of bread. He gave it to Jesus. Jesus blessed it and fed everybody. See, sometimes the people you talk to may be mature enough, and the anointing on you will get on them, and they'll do something. They'll put something in motion that the devil can't stop. In other words, if you are to do a mighty work under the anointing, you know, he said to a man or a woman, this speaks of maturity. Not children, not teenagers, but a man or a woman. If you're mature enough to obey him, that the anointing does the rest. And sometimes you can see the result and sometimes you can't. If you put something on YouTube and you see that you got 10,000 hits, don't get in pride. Do what God gives you to do. Don't look at the following numbers. Don't look at the people that like it. And don't be discouraged by the people that hate it. Do the work, because God is not after everybody. He's after the people that want to be saved. He's after people that will walk in love. He's after people that treasure the blood of Christ, not people who spit on it. He's after people that know they need help. He's after people that want to be like him. He's not after lukewarm people. He's not after cold-hearted people. He's looking for people who walk in love, people who are on fire, people who are sincere. He's not after rebellion. Though he died for them, they chose not to come in. He's after people that want to come in and want to do right and want to love everybody and want to repent and want to win in life. They desire these things. They desire to be healthy. They're not trying to live a poisonous life. They're not trying to hurt other people. They're not trying to live at somebody else's expense. But they have the heart of God. Their eyes single. Their whole body will be full of light when they hear the gospel, because they're going to come running. Or they may come reluctantly, but when they get to know the Lord, they're going to thank him for you who blessed them, who blessed them to understand. They're going to be thankful for everybody involved in reaching them to the Lord. And they're going to say, Lord, I thank you for watching out for me when I didn't watch out for myself. I did it. And I thank him all. I said, Lord, I hate what I did when I was out there in the world, but I thank you that you saved me. I thank you you forgave me. And I wish I could go back and not do that junk anymore. I mean, I wish I never did it. There's something I wish I never did, because I value the blood of God, the blood of Jesus now. And there are people out there doing crazy stuff right now. If they could believe, they'll treasure the blood of Jesus just like you do. You know, God loves us. We got to love him back. And we love him back by obeying him. See, the Lord, he can do a quick work. They did a quick work. They did in moments what would have taken hours, which means that God is going to raise up preachers that will do in moments what took years. At the last hour, they're going to do more than everybody that was working all day, and they're going to get the same pay. Because the Lord's going to be so happy that that there are so many souls that's won, that, you know, cousins and kinfolks of people that would have been lost. See, every time your cousins and kinfolks and brothers or sister or your parents, if they die and go to hell, you're going to have sorrow and you're going to cry. Even people that talk about their people right now and want to have nothing, they're going to cry. And it's going to take God to wipe the tears from their eyes. But see, the Lord, he's saving people. He's saving people. Now, he got the ones he wanted, the people he was after. And now, the people he's reaping now is a bonus. They're the cousins and kinfolks, people that couldn't be warned. A lot of people used to go to church and they got hurt. And because of the establishment, they just stopped. They shouldn't have, but they did. And the Lord wants them in. People that he know will love him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to bless and teach you and train you. Remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.